Right, well, welcome again to New Life. We're going to break for lunch and then no, we're not. Shane Dreesen just passed along a note as well. So along this theme of prayer, Shannon Harvey fell off a horse earlier this morning and got stepped on her ankle by the horse, presumably. And so we want to pray for Shannon as well, that everything will work out well for her as she awaits word on surgery for her ankle. So, and I want us just to pray also as we listen to God's word. And we're in the middle of this series. I don't know about you, but it's been challenging for me, not simply just to write these messages, but even as I seek to apply these things to my life. It's kind of scary stuff, right? And so as we continue to strive to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, and then we hear these words of things turning upside down, it's a different way to live, and that's challenging. So I want us to pray that God will hear his word again this morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to be people that specifically follow you. You are our Savior. You set us free. You free us from sin. You forgive our sin. You give us life. You are our Savior. You are also the master of our lives. And so, as we gather around your word, give us attentive hearts and ears to hear so that we live according to your word. You are also, Father, God. You are God over everything. And in that greatness, in that holiness, Lord, help us to live our lives in humility, in obedience, in devotion, and in love to you. And so we commit Shannon Harvey to your care this morning. Pray that you will bless her and provide healing for her. God, we're mindful of each of us in our own situations. We pray, Father, that you will guide us, lead us, encourage us to live for you. Father, we look around and we listen to everything that goes on in the world. And certainly that makes us fearful, scared, in the midst of the chaos, the violence, the power grabbing that goes on. And Father, help us to live in the confidence that even so, you are in control. So help us to live our lives completely devoted to you and in the freedom that only you can give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at ways in which the gospel reveals that life actually gets turned upside down. We looked at when I am weak, then I am strong. It's a paradox. It doesn't otherwise make sense except in the context of the gospel message. Or we looked at the foolishness of the cross, which is the wisdom of God. We looked at how Jesus said, the last will be first, and the first will be last. We looked at, it is better, Jesus' words again, it is better to give than to receive. And today we look at the paradox of being a slave in order to be free. Being a slave in order to be free. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 1. He says this, and we love to grab a hold of stuff like this. Wrong passage. 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no one, right? I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. How can Paul talk about being free at the same time talking about himself, making himself a slave? In 1 Corinthians 7, where we're going to take a careful look at this idea of being a slave even when you're free. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is talking about Christians who in Corinth who began to think that they had to change their circumstances. They had to try to somehow remove things out of their lives in order to live in the freedom of the gospel. They thought they had to change either their circumstance, their situation, their status to be a good Christian. We'll look at that more carefully. But it came up initially with respect to someone coming to faith in Jesus, thinking they needed to divorce a spouse for being an unbeliever so that they could live as a better Christian. Paul says, no, you get that all mixed up. And so then Paul goes on to reiterate his principle with respect to circumcision and then with respect to slavery. Here's his argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just after having said, no, you don't need to separate from an unbelieving wife or husband in order to be a better Christian. Nevertheless, he says, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule that I lay down in all of the churches. Was a man already, so now he's going to go on to another example. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He shouldn't become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He shouldn't be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. And then he goes on to reiterate his principle. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? So here's a third example, essentially. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. But for the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. Now, we don't think much of slavery because we just kind of dismiss it. That's obviously wrong and so on. But in the context of Paul's writing to, slavery was a common occurrence. It was just an accepted thing. So you can see how that would be a slap in the face. I mean, for free Corinthian Christians, it'd be one thing to hear Paul say, for the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Oh, good, I get to keep my slave. But imagine, similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. That's a demotion. That's turning your life upside down. You were bought at a price, he says. Don't become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation that they were called that they were in when God called them. So I want us to take a look at this idea of being a slave. What does that mean? So typically we think of things like being forced to work, right? So when we mention the word slave, we think of being owned or being somehow controlled, restricted. We even worse, we think of it as a dehumanizing thing, something that degrades a person's life. Being a slave is being physically restricted. Being a slave has everything to do, in our assumptions, with a lack of or a complete elimination of freedom. Being a slave, we associate with being easily abused, being victimized, being forced into something. Being a slave means you don't get to control your actions. Being a slave means you don't get to make any of the decisions. And so it's relatively easy to see all that's wrong with slavery. Denies basic human rights, we would say. Humans aren't commodities, so slavery, therefore, is bad. Every person is free by virtue of being a fellow human being. And so, especially in our culture, we uphold freedom as this one piece of treasure that makes us fully human. And that's exactly where the paradox lies. Paul suggests that a slave should stay a slave because they're really free. Not based on their circumstances, not based on their situation in life, but they are free. And that a person who is free ought to think of themselves as a slave. So there's something else going on here. Now, Paul suggests this not because he disregards human freedom. Galatians 5, verse 1, here it is. It is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we latch on to that because that makes sense in our culture. But then how, in this paradox, can freedom and slavery be proposed? How can it be that then, if it's for freedom that we have been set free, how can Paul talk as if we are to think of ourselves as slaves? Well, let's take a look at freedom then. What is freedom? Well, popularly, we think of freedom most likely in a very individualized, very personal sense. We think of freedom in terms of, I get to do whatever I want. It's based on the assumption that you belong to yourself, that every human being belongs to themselves. That you belong to nobody else, therefore you are free. Therefore, it depends on your circumstances and your situations. If only I could unshackle all of these other things, then I could be free. That's our understanding of freedom. It's based on the assumption that my freedom is inside of me. And it's just everything else that bears on me that prevents me from being truly free. Paul frames freedom in a completely different way. Freedom's not something that is within me that only needs to be expressed if only other people would allow it. And so he preaches this principle. The Corinthian Christians were thinking, wow, I could be truly free as a Christian if only I could get rid of my unbelieving spouse. Paul says, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them. And then he goes on to describe the scenario of circumcision and uncircumcision. And so there developed in the Corinthian church evidently this competition about who was the better Christian, who was the one that was more free in Jesus Christ. So some people who said, well, you know what, to be a really good Christian, you have to be circumcised, at least if you're a male. And so they would say, wow, when I become a Christian, I'm going to get circumcised. Which completely baffles my mind. But anyways, and so he says, no, Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them, because your freedom doesn't depend on whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, or with whether you follow a particular rule within expected behaviors or not. And so then Paul goes on, and that example of circumcision is kind of easy for us to dismiss. We're like, yeah, we don't want anything to do with that. But then he goes on, and then he zeroes in on this slavery business. Freedom of a person who is a slave, Paul says, doesn't depend on whether they are not a slave or not. Although he does give allowance for saying, hey, you know what, if a slave can gain freedom, that's good for them. But their freedom doesn't depend on that. To the slave who may feel hopeless, Paul says, you do have freedom. It doesn't depend on your circumstances, on your situation. And then he reiterates the principle once again in verse 24. Each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation that they were in when God called them. So to the free person who's proud of their lot in life, and we can certainly identify with that, right? I mean, maybe we even came to church and we said, thank you, God, that we are free to come to church. Oh, that's very nice to say. Paul says, never forget, though, that you are a slave to Christ. Which means that true freedom is something different than popular notions of being able to do whatever I want, even in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we usually think of freedom in North America. I ought to be able to do whatever I want, even in the context of being a believer. Listen, here's, I think, a story I came across that I think illustrates what Paul is getting at. There's a story that's been told from the American Civil War. Before American slaves were freed. It's a story about a northerner. So in the north, in the States, in the mid-1800s, in the north, slavery didn't exist, but in the south, it did, right? So there's this northerner who went to a slave auction, and he purchased a young slave girl. And as they walked away from the auction, the man turned to the girl and told her, you are free. You can imagine what that would be like for this little girl, right? Born into slavery, fully expecting that that's her lot in life, to be told, you're free. With amazement, she responds, you mean, I'm free to do whatever I want? Yes, he said. And to say whatever I want to say? Yes, he says, anything. And to be whatever I want to be? Yep. And even go wherever I want to go? Yes. He answered with a smile, you're free to go wherever you would like. And then she looked at him intently and she replied, then I will go with you. See, freedom isn't about whether your situation in life allows you to do whatever your heart desires. Freedom in that sense is not within you. It's not innate. It's about who you belong to. Freedom is about who directs your life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible instructs us, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Because you see, what's really in our hearts isn't innate freedom. What's in our hearts is evil. We're born in sin. Live then, Peter says, live as God's slaves. And that's why Paul can say to a slave, don't worry, Christ directs your life, you're already free. And that's why he can say to a free person, don't get anxious. You're owned by Jesus. No one can steal your freedom. John Ortberg's wonderful preacher, he thinks of it in terms of who's driving your car. When your kid turns 16, he says, and you hand them the keys, right? I mean, up until that point, for 16 years, they've ridden in the car with you. They've been in the back seat. You've been able to tell them, you know, sit down, be quiet. We're going my direction. We're going my speed, whatever, right? But when your kid turns 16, you hand them the keys, you're giving up control. They aren't just a passenger anymore. And he writes, a lot of people find Jesus handy to have in the car as long as he's in the ride-along seat, because something may come up when they require his services. But when we're Christians, we hand the keys to Jesus, and he is the driver. And if Jesus is in the driver's seat of my life, then I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge of my wallet because Jesus directs what I buy. I'm not even in charge of my own ego because it's God's agenda, not my ambitions for which I live. Nor am I in charge of my own mouth because God directs my speech. I can't just say whatever I want. And in our 21st century, modern, popular ears, that doesn't sound much like freedom anymore. So it's like that well-known fish-out-of-water analogy. We think of freedom as doing whatever we want, but some of those things that we want freedom for do not allow us to, in fact, flourish. Being able to do whatever you want doesn't mean that you'll live better. Sometimes doing whatever you want will kill you. When we belong to Jesus and he's in the driver's seat, then it's his life that we live. And in that context, we are then our freest selves. Another favorite preacher of mine, Tim Keller, he says this: human beings thrive in certain environments and they break down in others. Unless you honor the given limits of your physical nature, you'll never know the freedom of health. Unless you honor the given limits of human relationships, as another example, you'll never know the freedom of love and social peace. If you actually lived any way that you wanted, never aligning your choices with these physical limitations or with these social realities, you would quickly die, and in fact, you would die alone. He goes on, you are then not free to do whatever you choose. You get the best freedoms only if you're willing to submit your choices to various realities. In other words, in Paul's context, what Paul is preaching in 1 Corinthians 7, the only way to be free is to be a slave to Christ. And that's so counterintuitive. To be bound, to be confined, to be limited in order to be the most free. To follow the law of Christ is to be free. And that, quite frankly, just, it doesn't make any sense in our modern minds. You lose your life, but you gain life that's way better than you could ever put together yourself, given your ability to do whatever you want. See, and that's the danger, is that given our situation, for most of us, we do get to do whatever we want, and it becomes so absolutely dangerous for us. Instead, Paul says, you need to die to yourself, to take up your cross, to surrender on a daily basis. That's why we're in this series, in this particular time of year. This is the time of year called Lent, when we follow Jesus to the cross. We follow Jesus on that road of suffering, something we would absolutely never want to invite ourselves into. Except that that's the way of salvation. Following Jesus into that road of suffering. Do you know how Jesus himself gained freedom for us? Right? We celebrate that all the time. We say, oh yeah, Jesus has set me free. You know how he did it? He knelt down in a garden and he said to his father, I don't want to do this. I should be free to do whatever I want. This is too hard. This is too scary. This is too painful for me. But not my will, but yours. That's how we got our freedom. By complete obedience. So, I'm going to commission you again to live the upside down gospel this week. But here's the crazy thing. Inasmuch as we think we are free to live out that freedom, is to completely surrender ourselves to obedience. That's the paradox. Freedom is obedience to Jesus. It's your job to figure out what that looks like in your life this week. So I want to read a passage. Why don't you stand for this commissioning? I want to read a passage, and then we're going to close so the band can come up and this is from Romans 6, another passage where Paul creates this paradox, talking about freedom and law, that they go together when we're talking about Christian freedom, freedom in Christ. In Romans 6, he says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Does that mean we can do whatever we want? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? And thank God, Paul says then, once you were slaves of sin, you were obedient to sin, but now I proclaim to you and send you out with this. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Whether you're heading out to Mexico, whether you're heading out to your job tomorrow, or whether you are in your home managing your family, you are free, even as you are a slave to the righteous laws of God. So go in obedience. Go in the strength of God. Go in the freedom that Christ has won for you. Amen.